it's 9:46, and now we're going to be talking about a recent criminal case in the USA that has seen Apple America caught up in it in its wake. And now it's a security and privacy concerns that are being brought to the fore and debated back and forth. Now, President Donald Trump, he's even weighed in, as he does, tweeting last week, "We are helping Apple all the time on trade and so many other issues, yet they refuse to unlock phones used by killers, drug dealers, and other violent criminal elements. They will have to step up to the plate and help our great country now," all in capitals, exclamation mark. Can't you just see him yelling at you? So the trouble is that once the encryption gates are unlocked, do we all stand to lose? Or is it guaranteed that we all stand to lose because hackers and other criminal entities themselves, they will then be able to access that technology? Here to unpack this issue for the Thursday Daily is Dr. Luke Heemsbergen from Deakin University. Luke, how are you?
Great, thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, can you just outline the issue for us a little further?
Sure. So, I mean, we can look at it one way and say, you know what, Trump's just tweeting like this to draw attention maybe away from taking away health care, ruining national parks, or killing fuel standards, or, you know, the whole impeachment thing. But there's an underlying issue here that I think is pretty interesting from a tech and privacy perspective. And that's this kind of long battle that's been going on about privacy and security of our stuff versus law enforcement's capacity to look into our stuff.
Right. Okay. So is it like at the moment, so police can't come into your home unless they've got a warrant. Is it the case at the moment that police can't look into your information unless they have a warrant, or can they not even get into it?
Well, this is kind of what's changed, or at least from the police's perspectives, what's changed, and they hope to increase their powers. Now, when the encryption debate first kind of came to the fore in the 1990s, encryption is basically just math that says we scramble your communications so nobody else can read them. When this was kind of happening in the 90s, the telecommunications company said, hey, if there are communication signals going through our networks, then yeah, we'll comply with government requests to unlock those. Trump and William Barr, who's the attorney general right now, and actually was 30 years ago as well, are saying, wait a minute, you used to unlock this for us. Now you're not. How come? And that's their perspective. Apple's perspective here is actually really different. They're saying, okay, we use math to lock the things that are on our phones. And the key is actually on our phone and the user, meaning your thumbprint, your face, or your six-digit code, right? Your mom's birthday backwards or whatever. And those are the keys that unlock your phone.
Yeah.
And those are the only keys that unlock your phone. We can't get into your phone because that's your personal privacy. That's your personal property. We have no right to be in there. And your trust, by buying our product, you're trusting us to say, this is your stuff. So that's where the government has an issue. And it's saying, well, we should be able to get in there and should be able to get in there quickly.
Right. Okay. So in the nuts and bolts of it, like forgetting regulation and legalities and all that, can Apple actually get into my phone if they wanted to?
Well, so here's the interesting thing. Apple runs an ad that says what happens on iPhone stays on iPhone. And that's kind of true, but it's kind of not. And here's why. The things that are on your phone, Apple can't get into. And they've been quite public about this. They can't. You need your key, your password, on your device. So the data is on your device, and the key is on your device, and the key is you. Yeah? Your thumb or your face, whatever.
Yeah.
Except that Apple has a service that backs up some of your data. It's called iCloud. And people like to back up their photos and back up their chats, right? Their iMessages back and forth. So that if they lose their phone, they can get all these things back. Apple can get into the backup. Right. They don't really publicize this a lot, but they can get into the backup. And the reason probably they can get into the backup is this scenario. Hey, I just dropped my phone into the ocean, right? And I'd really hope you guys can help me get all my pictures of my wedding back or blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So in that scenario, Apple has decided so far to say, oh yeah, we can help with that. Once we know who you actually are, we'll open that up for you. So it's a different type of lock. It's a lock where they have the key and you have the key to that backup.
Right.
So yes, the government and Apple has helped the government with getting into backups when there's a warrant, et cetera, et cetera. But right now, as far as we can tell, what's on your phone that doesn't get backed up stays on your phone, and the only entity that get into it is you. There's some third-party companies that are kind of playing cat-and-mouse games with Apple, you know, just back and forth on the technology, different ways of unlocking things. But for the most part, no on your phone, yes on backup.
Right. And so who's protecting the little guy in all of this? Because, I mean, as governments globally continue to increase their surveillance and their eavesdropping on their citizens, who's looking out for kind of just the regular Joe who might be sending, you know, not bad messages, but messages that he doesn't necessarily want being read by other people?
That's right. And that's kind of the interesting thing. 30 years ago, telecommunications was like the separate part of our life, right? Maybe you had a phone in your kitchen that you used, and then police would wiretap that. The tech companies that they're trying to regulate similarly now, your whole life is on your phone. So it's just kind of a different set of questions. And to answer who's looking out for us, it's actually pretty strange because so far, in the States anyway, there's no really great privacy legislation. It's the tech companies. So Apple's argument is, look, personal security is important and good encryption is needed for personal security. Good encryption is also needed for national security. So we're not going to ruin our encryption so that the American government or any other government or other hackers can get into our customers' stuff. So strangely enough, right now, it seems to be Apple who's doing the most to protect our privacy.
I was going to say, it's Apple. It's Apple. Are there any underlying political issues at play here, like maybe anything juicy, like corporate espionage or you know, something else influencing this current situation?
I mean, I think that if we try to understand why, for instance, Apple backs up the stuff, or sorry, why Apple encrypts, so locks the stuff on your phone, but only kind of locks it in the backup, there's lots of kind of theories, right? One is that their customers phone them up all the time and say, please give me my photos back. The other is that the FBI doesn't want them to lock that up. It's too valuable. Mm-hmm. So when we kind of weigh all those issues together, it is unclear. I mean, there's a gray area about what Apple's policies, where they come from, right?
Yeah.
That being said, they have been, you know, focusing on privacy for quite some time, and it's kind of their selling feature. So, you know, it's hard to discern what's actually going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. And what do you think is going to be the outcome of all this encryption debate?
Well, the encryption debate seems to keep coming up again and again and again. And the reality is, at the end of the day, you can't outlaw math, so there's always going to be encryption.
Okay.
The laws that will regulate encryption will either hinder security or help security. And by that, I mean security of personal security and national security. So I think that up until now, we've more or less prevailed on the side that says math works and we should let people encrypt things as they need to. And I think that's going to prevail regardless of how much Trump yells or how kind of confused people like Barr are around what telecommunications are versus how people use their phones now.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, so as it kind of stands, if you want stuff to remain private, don't load it up to the iCloud. But if you don't mind if that data is potentially seen by other people, by all means, back it up to the iCloud.
That's a pretty good rule of thumb. I mean, there are security measures, but yeah, as soon as anything kind of leaves your phone, it's gone.
Yeah.
And the settings to make sure that things stay on your phone are can be hard to figure out. And then it's, of course, depends on an app-by-app basis, right?
Oh, my God, so, yes. I'm so technology illiterate. Yeah, maybe we should have you back on, Dr. Heemsbergen, to give us a technology privacy lesson.
We can do it in 5 steps. So I'd love to come back anytime you guys are ready.
Yes, all right. I'm going to slate that for a couple of weeks' time. Dr. Luke Heemsbergen, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Have a great morning.
You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.